The Yankees won their third straight game against the Colorado Rockies. Didn't matter who they played because they won 3-0. Back-to-back shutouts. Starting pitching is on a tear. Aaron Judge looks like a freaking video game, and we're excited to talk about it. Before we dive into it, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. And of course, be sure, down in the comment section below, at the end of this video, let us know, obviously, if you get to that point, you're going to have to drop the movie that we throw out there.
Oh, I have a good one today.
You have a good one, Gary. But Gary, first off, I'll ask you, how the hell are you, my guy?
I'm doing great. I mean, we finally are on a win streak. It feels like this season, outside of the first half of the year when everything was going great, and I think a lot of us knew that this wasn't going to last. Something's going to happen. Yankees usually do with injuries. We did, right? But we saw an injury earlier in the year with Gerrit Cole, and then we just overcame it. Not a problem, right? Everyone was stepping up. Stroman, Rodon, Heel was a huge surprise, right? So we just talked yesterday about no one having a win streak and the longest win streak in baseball, which was the Dodgers at 4 games. Well, the Yankees are now at 3. And we were talking about the whole matchup between us and Baltimore. And we don't need to be great. We don't have to be great to outrun Baltimore. We just have to be better than them. And we need to be the most prepared team come October. We mentioned Dominguez, kind of what the Yankees should do with left field and how we can improve this team. So obviously I'm very pleased with what happened today. I thought Kyle Freeland was much better than I expected. I know he's been decent since the break. I know he had an injury and yeah, he was a pleasant surprise, I guess, for the Rockies, you know, as far as they're concerned. But
yeah,
Giancarlo Stanton's in the lineup to bop lefties, and he did exactly what his job was today. And obviously Aaron Judge did the same thing, but you know, it was just good to see us win a game, especially 3-0. Cause normally it's like our pitching has just been an issue. So Jake, I guess here's where I'm at. My biggest concern with this Yankees team hasn't been scoring right now. It's been lineup building and construction and our pitching. It's been a huge problem. And this past few days or week or so, the Yankees are getting outs, and it's not necessarily Clay Holmes that looks electric, anything like that. It's our starting pitching. And if I told you Luis Gil is going to go down and go on the 15-day IL and the Yankees are suddenly going to turn it around and look like the team they're supposed to on the mound, well, I'd say that's pretty good news given who we have to outrun in Baltimore, who doesn't have much starting pitching to begin with. So I'm in a good mood tonight, and I hope everyone else is too.
So it'll be a good movie that we're talking about, like an actual
all-time great. I actually had to Google it. Yeah.
I like
great
it.
Movie. Yeah.
I probably have not seen it because I was deprived as a child. No, I'm kidding. But 19 straight scoreless innings from starting pitching. We'll take that. Before we dive into anything Yankees here, we want to give a big shout out to Jeff J, who signed up for a field level membership on the channel, and Thomas Gibson, who signed up for the second deck membership. We appreciate you guys more than you know. This channel we started, we started it in what, February? We didn't really get consistent with it until May, June. I would say June is when we really hit our stride, yeah, and we're doing it every night. So it's been a full-time job, but essentially we're starting from scratch. So it's not really like a full-time job. We're putting in the work, but you know,
it's a full-time hobby.
So yeah. So right now, we just appreciate, you know, anyone who's watching this, but to go the next level and actually, we had a super thanks that I also want to shout out, and I have to find that, and I will, but also shout outs, as you know, this is what happens when you're the field level. Shout out to Ed W. Once again, a shout out to him. Joined 2 days ago, first one actually, first ever one was a field level sign up. And you guys can actually become members. Link is in the description and the comment section pinned below. We have field level and we have second deck. And happy to announce that we're adding an additional perk to the field level membership. That will include, for the first time ever, we are announcing that Yankees Unloaded will have a mailbag. And anyone who is part of the field level tier will have a chance to send in their mailbag questions. and we will read them on the next show. And it's really simple. We're not going to make it crazy. You don't have to email us or anything like that. Just comment, put all uppercase letters, mailbag, and a colon, and just let us know what your question is for the next episode. And we will
be nice. We don't have to worry about phone calls, because it's much easier said than done to get the phone lines working. We don't really want to do that. So
no.
Yeah, I think this is a better system. And then plus, we want to reward people who are investing in our show, of course, because, you know, eventually this is going to become a full-time job, right? Mm-hmm. Where we make a living doing this.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure if people are going to help support us, well, then the least we can do is make them a part of the show. And we expect them, don't pull any punches with us. If you have a problem with anything we've said and you want it addressed, baseball related, of course, we'll talk anything. We don't mind. And that's part of this show. This is a nuanced audience, and they want to hear the details of baseball, but mainly pertaining to Yankees. So we appreciate you guys, and hopefully you guys get involved.
Absolutely. And so I actually still have to look up that. I want to give a shout out to that super thanks, but I got to find it here. It, you know, there's so much. But while I'm looking for that, Gary, let's talk about Aaron Judge. Because Aaron Judge, you know, we talked about Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and I understand it's almost like it's so teed up at this point. He's the most popular player in the sport right now. Like, everyone talks about him. So our entire show isn't going to be about Aaron Judge, but to not talk about the fact that he has 45 home runs in his last 100 games, which is almost half of his games have a home run in them. That's absurd. So, Gary, I guess I want to throw this over to you. You know, there were people, and I'm not saying, I don't want to make too much of a mention of this because it's just a dumb opinion, but there were people, even smart ones that I've seen that know baseball, were saying he was a meatball merchant. Remember that? They said all his home runs came on hanging sliders. Well, did you see today? I mean, he took that inside pitch and absolutely smoked it. We've seen him hit Vladimir Guerrero home runs, okay?
Yeah, it was inside. It wasn't inside enough.
Yeah, exactly. So why? All right, let's just do this. Why is Aaron Judge so good, Gary? Why?
I would say it's very simple. I actually am going to bring this back to something my dad helped explain, because when people remember great players that played for the Yankees, one of the players I always like to bring up is Robinson Cano. And Robinson Cano is a player that when he actually walked in the building at Old Yankee Stadium, my dad, he realized this is a player who he could take under his wing. And my dad explained to Cano, your job isn't to be this spectacular player that hits amazing pitches. Your job, it's going to make you hundreds of millions of dollars in this workplace hitting awful pitches. That's your job. And if you do that enough with enough consistency, pitchers are going to be so afraid you're going to hit a mistake, they will throw you more. That's how this game works. And that's the job of a hitter. And it's something, in my opinion, when people want to talk about Aaron Judge being a bad ball hitter, I think, fine. If you believe that, if you watch most Major League Baseball players, you want to go watch the Shohei Ohtanis, the Aaron Judges of the world, you're going to see a lot of center pitches that you would expect to be hit out of the ballpark. But if you go watch the rest of Major League Baseball, you go watch a lot of Twins, Tigers, and White Sox, and a lot of basically any other team in Major League Baseball, even some of the really good players, they miss a lot of pitches in the middle of the zone. Pitchers get away with middle, hanging breaking balls, fastballs down the middle, grooved fastballs, and a lot of hitters in this game because it's so difficult to play. This is the hardest sport to play in the world for a reason. Hitting a fastball, it's very difficult. So yeah, if people want to say Aaron Judge is a bad pitch, you know, hitting merchant, be my guess. That's the job at hand. If you throw a pitcher's pitch, he can strike out just like any other player. But you know what? Pitchers make mistakes all the time. All-time great pitchers rarely make mistakes. But most of these other guys in baseball, they might throw harder, but they're making more mistakes than ever because controlling these pitches is more difficult than ever, and especially without spider tack. So, Jake, my whole point here, Aaron Judge is a destroyer of bad pitches, and occasionally he's so talented, he might hit a pitcher's pitch, which he did today. They threw him inside, something that I actually have been waiting to see a little bit more of from our opponents is not just walking him, but where you attack him inside the strike zone. They went inside. It wasn't nearly inside enough, and it's just destruction at this point. Not surprising because of how good he is, but I want to really bring home the fact that we're seeing a player. You just mentioned he's hitting a home run every other game. Barry Bonds, when he hit 73 homers, was hitting a home run every 10 at-bats. Aaron Judge is doing it in less. It's absurd what's happening, and I want to make people understand we are watching Barry Bonds. This is today's Barry Bonds. And I would argue the last 100 games of Aaron Judge's career have been the best stretch, if not a top three stretch in the history of this sport. Not just 2024, not him against Bobby Witt Jr. No, him against the best players that you could ever name that have played this sport. And that's saying a lot. You hit a home run every other day. What else is there to do?
So two things I want to say. For the meatball merchant people out there, so are you going to penalize Christian McCaffrey when he gets a wide open hole that's blocked well? Not everybody's going to finish, but he gets the wide open hole but has to make a cutback,
right?
And then he's gone. Are you going to punish Connor McDavid for finishing a breakaway? Everyone celebrates goals, but do you know how many guys miss wide left or wide right of the, you know, the goal? Are you going to punish Steph Curry for hitting a wide open three? Oh, he's trash. No one does that. No one does that. But for whatever reason in baseball, when people don't like a certain player, it's always he's this merchant or this. I don't give a rip. And what I would also say is that there are multiple other players that could also, they're also getting these hanging breaking balls and doing
Puka Nacua, to your point. He's on your shirt right now. We were watching a rookie last year just completely dominate the NFL. And I'm not going to go too far on this because this is not a football podcast, but everyone said he's a slant merchant. And everyone knows the slant is the easiest route to run in football. But the question is if he's a slant merchant or anybody else's that gets big numbers, why didn't all these other players do it? Why don't all these other players destroy fastballs or breaking balls down the middle? Why is that? Well, because they miss them. It's harder to do that. Hit a fastball right down the middle or a hanging breaking ball than anyone's willing to admit. People have bad mechanics, right? Errors in judgment. They'll take the pitch, right? So there's a lot going on in this sport. It's a bunch of moving parts. You can look at our own roster to prove this. Anthony Volpe, something that Yes Network is like, what's wrong with the kid for 2 months? And they'll actually broadcast. Yeah, it seems like he's drifting towards the pitcher. How often does the Yes broadcast talk about flawed Aaron Judge mechanics? Never.
Nope.
Absolutely never.
It's crazy.
That's part of being a great hitter.
He's robotic. And you know, I'm going to make a crazy comparison right now because the other day I said, is Juan Soto and Aaron Judge the greatest duo ever? And there were very upset people about, like, you know, Kobe Bryant and Shaq and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, even some that said we didn't know who Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, you know, were. There were some that assumed that, even though we've mentioned them multiple times in the show. But I want to make a comparison here that might even piss off more people. Aaron Judge right now is having, you said in sports, this is like the craziest run right now in the sport. I would say it is up there as the craziest run in sport, in all of sports. And the reason I'll say that is the only one who compares to what Aaron Judge is doing right now, it's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry. It's none of those guys. Okay. You know who it is? It's Wayne Gretzky. Because Wayne Gretzky has more, I think it's more goals than the next guy has points, right?
Yeah, that seems pretty good. I actually kind of, it reminds me a lot of Joe DiMaggio's 56.
I mean, it's like that, but Aaron Judge is slugging more than the average OPS. That's Wayne Gretzky-esque. You see what I'm saying? That's he is far and away. He has a 465 on base percentage. He's never had that in his career. He has a career 405 on base percentage. The year he hit, so let's go back to 2022 so we can really try to reel in why what he's doing is insane. Okay. 2022, he hit 62 home runs. He had 133 runs, led both categories in the league. He led RBIs. He had 111 walks, right? And he batted 311, which is insane because you never looked at Aaron Judge like he was hitting for average type of guy. I mean, 284 second year, 278, 272, 257, 287, and then 311. And then down to 267 last year, obviously injuries. But 2022, he had a 425 on base percentage. That was the first time since 2017 that he had an on base percentage over 400. And that led the league at 425. His slugging percentage led the league at 686. That was the first time since 2017 he had an on base percentage over 600. His slugging percentage in 2017 was 627. That was 686. He has an OPS was 1.111. Okay, so fast forward to now, right? You have in 2024, Aaron Judge has a 465 on base percentage to his 2022 425. He has a 726 slugging percentage to his 686. Both, by the way, lead the league. And his on base percentage or his OPS this year is almost 1,200. Okay.
Yeah, that's not real.
And he's had back to back to back years of over 1,000 OPS. He's been incredible. He only has 1 year, by the way, because we're not counting 2016. He had 84 at-bats.
That doesn't count.
But he only has 1 year, by the way, where he hasn't had at least a 900 OPS. 890.
What about his lineup protection? What about that? No one's really talked about that.
That's
remember when Barry Bonds was just a dynamic player in this league? And I think a lot of people, depending on what you think of steroids and if you really put a lot of weight on that, most people would tell you, right or wrong, that Barry Bonds is the best baseball player who's ever played. I mean, I'd say that's pretty fair. But who was hitting behind him in San Francisco? And there was a pretty good player by the name of Jeff Kent behind him. Don't you know Aaron Judge played this year? He doesn't hit in front of Juan Soto. Juan Soto is protected by him.
Yes. So
when Giancarlo Stanton at the beginning of this year was playing, he's really playing his tail off, but he got hurt, right? Our general manager made the prediction that he's going to get hurt. Long and behold, he did, okay? Well, Austin Wells wasn't the free-swinging, you know, hot-hitting Austin Wells the entire time since Giancarlo was gone. No, they were walking him and pitching around him and nibbling around Aaron Judge all year, and it didn't matter because he's just mastered the craft. That's what this is. Hitting can be mastered as hard as it is, and it's becoming more difficult as you see batting averages dwindle as the years go on, but Aaron Judge just is getting better. He's hitting 335. Do you know that there are only 8 players in baseball that have a batting average over 300? So what really, if we had weighted batting average, what would his batting average look like 20 years ago? Maglia or Ordóñez hitting 375.
Yeah. Well, batting average balls in play, 381 this year. It was 340 in 2022. In 2017, it was 357. He's having his best year of his career at age 32.
Yep.
And, you know, we talked about it. Power's the last thing to go. So I'm not going to sit here and say 763 is happening. But I mean, if he keeps this stuff up, if he does, and I don't know if he can, because Father Time always wins, but say he ends up being Tom Brady and he's able to play at a high level and at least hit 45 home runs every year until he's 43, I think he'd have a shot.
Yeah, and it won't be 45 homers per year. And let's be clear, that's like, not what Jake's saying.
Yeah.
Averaging out to 45. There are going to be some seasons. Aaron Judge is kind of proven. He just played the first month and was one of the worst players in baseball. He was terrible. Mm. Well, imagine if he was even average Aaron Judge for in May. Well, you're looking at a player, he probably would be making a bid for 70, right? And I'm not going to say, well, I mean, you know, obviously if he had, if his grandma had wheels, she'd be a bike. He still has to perform. He didn't perform. But this is kind of going to show you he can hit 66 homers, 67 homers in a season. Like, it's physically possible for this player. If the Yankees have a better four hitter next year or a better five hitter behind Aaron Judge, there's a possibility Aaron Judge is forced to be pitched to. Forced. You have no choice. They were allowed to pitch around him given our lineup constraints due to injury. So if they can kind of shore this up, maybe next year, the year after that, Aaron Judge has a bid to hit 70. Well, that 45 homer average you were talking about, it's much more doable. Now, my prediction on Aaron Judge, my expectation is he finishes somewhere in the low 600s in terms of home runs for his career, and that's perfectly fine. He got here when he was 25. He's been spectacular since he got here. He kind of honed in his health. That's great. The Yankees need to win a World Series. You cannot waste a player like this. The Yankees know this. This is not new. They have got to go win once. And then once you win one time, we'll worry about another one after that. But we can't worry about a dynasty or anything like this. No talks of a dynasty. We need to win one championship because, as you see with CC Sabathia, A-Rod, and all these dudes, right? Hideki Matsui, they're all in Yankees lore by winning one time. Now, imagine Aaron Judge. Imagine that legacy being a champion. We deserve it. He deserves it more than anything else. And hopefully in our first year as a Yankees podcast with Yankees Unloaded, the Yankees can do that.
I mean, we'd be forever the good luck charm.
We sure would be. It's only downhill from there.
Didn't we? We were the good luck charm. When we first started this show, they were undefeated for like the first. They swept Houston. They went.
Yeah, Clay Holmes' ERA was zero when we started this pod.
Yeah, it was definitely all because of us.
Right.
But yeah, I thought this was interesting. His intentional walks this year, 16. He had 11 in 2017, and he had 19 in 2022. Which, by the way, I know this is maybe petty, but the fact that he wasn't MVP in 2017 still bothers me.
Altuve? Yeah, that was really stupid. I mean, I know he says he didn't cheat, but come on now.
I don't even care if he cheated. I mean, essentially, I was just looking at it, the numbers, and it would be like giving Bobby Witt Jr. the MVP this year over Aaron Judge.
Yeah, numbers-wise, you're absolutely right. There was no reason for Aaron Judge not to win MVP in 2017, but it's the fact that, like, when people say, oh, you cheated the game, I would say steroid use is much less egregious than knowing what pitches are coming. Frankly don't believe any player for Houston didn't know the pitches. I don't believe that story. Now, no. I'm not a person who harps on it, but I agree. He should be winning his multiple time MVP at this point.
Yeah, so, a one time MVP, and people were mad he won it over Ohtani. So you want him to be a no time MVP? He's the best player in the world, but it is what it is. Let's hit on, because I want to talk about Rodon. I know we hit on the 19 straight and, you know, we talked about how good the pitchers were as a whole, but I thought Rodon, and I don't care that it was Colorado. So let me make that very clear. We're not looking at these games like, oh, it's Colorado, so, you know, this doesn't mean as much. They still have some guys, like, in my opinion, I think Doyle is going to be an absolute superstar. I think Doyle is an absolute superstar. But Rodgers too. Rodgers is good. Tovar's solid. McMahon has gone downhill since the trade deadline. But McMahon is still a very good player. Still, you know. But my thing here is Rodon. It's not that he didn't give up a run, gave him six innings of length, and only gave up four hits, barely even walked anybody. It wasn't anything about that. It was what happened when he was put under duress. I thought he stepped up in a big way. He got out of two jams where runners did touch third base, on both of those. I don't care that he pitched himself into a jam. I see too many people on Twitter like, I don't trust Rodon. Playoffs, we can't have this. This is the Rockies. This is baseball. I mean, you could make the greatest pitch in the world, but Vladimir Guerrero could hit it off the carpet and it's gone. Does that mean you threw a bad pitch? No.
Yeah, sometimes a lot of how you're judged.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so...
Jake, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just, Gary, I just wanted to give a shout out to Carlos Rodon here because you know, regardless if this is the Rockies or the Red Sox or the Astros or whoever, I was really impressed with Rodon getting out of those jams and giving them length, man. And honestly, Boone deserves credit too for sticking with Rodon to get through six innings. So then you're only using three guys in the bullpen, Weaver, Cousins, and Holmes.
First of all, totally agree. And for those of you who think this is a beer, this is a Canada Dry, so don't get on me. But as far as Carlos Rodon goes in pitching against a team like the Colorado Rockies, who are, frankly, they're not good. Okay.
No,
this is not a great team. They're not ready yet, and they'll probably never be ready. I'll be 63 by the time they're ready. Well, let me say this. If you're the Yankees, you can't possibly overlook any of these teams that you would consider bad teams in baseball. Why? The Yankees against teams under 500 this year, they are 19th in Major League Baseball. That is awful. For a team that needs to win the World Series, you need to take care of business against really bad teams. Below 500 teams, for the most part, unless it's like way early in the season, they're not even in the hunt. They're not worrying about games. They're not worried about pinching around Aaron Judge. They're not worried about these scouting reports the same way contenders are. So our whole point here, the Yankees need to go beat up on these teams. We went and played the White Sox. It was super underwhelming. And people said, well, don't lay down. It's still a big league team. Well, then when you play the Colorado Rockies, shouldn't we treat them even with more respect than the Chicago White Sox, who are going to lose 125 games? I do. I expected the Yankees could lose this game. They haven't played very well against lefties in general. And this is not necessarily personnel. They've said, wow, it's kind of difficult to go play up against, you know, play talent that's below you. Okay, if that's the excuse you want to go make, but you need to still go get it done. You need to finish these games. And you mentioned Carlos Rodon got himself into some trouble. That slider in the fifth inning was not good. He couldn't locate it. He wasn't letting it go, as the Yes broadcast mentioned. And I agree with him. But what's so interesting was that he continued to go to that pitch, very reminiscent of what Luis Gil would do. He doesn't have that slider, doesn't have the same depth, but he continues to throw it. And thankfully, when his back was against the wall, he executed the pitch he had to execute. And if we would have lost today, people would have said, oh, the Yankees lost to the Rockies. And some people would say it's hard to get up for these games. We are judged based on what we do in these games at the end of the year. We won't remember this game in 3 weeks. That's fine. But these games count. When you want to talk about the Yankees nursing a 1.5 game lead, if we had lost this game, we're talking about a 1 game lead. And tomorrow we could be in second place. So these games all matter just as much as one another. I know it's very hard to conceptualize that, but here at Yankees Unloaded, where we kind of really dive deep into the nuances, well, a nuance of baseball is that most of the time, most of baseball is not very good. And you're judged long-term based on what you do against a bunch of teams who are not very good.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the argument the Yankees offense wasn't very good today. But this was a successful day. I don't care that it was the Rockies. I don't care that it was Kyle Freeland. Freeland's pitched a lot better than he did at the beginning of the year. I mean, his ERA was like 14 at one point. He's gotten it down to 570, which I know sounds terrible, but you know, he's much better than he was earlier in the year, is my point. But I mean, regardless, they just didn't have it today. The offense really had to be carried by Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, it's really that simple. Sometimes that's the way it is. You know, Torres gets on first on the fielding error. I mean, McMahon is about as gold of a glove as it gets at third, and he just misplayed it, and that scores Volpe, and now you have a 2-0 ball game. Judge hits a home run in the sixth, and that's all she wrote. It was 3-0, and you know, Clay Holmes, while he never makes it look perfect, he got the save. But Jake Cousins looks really good, starting to look like the Michael King of this bullpen. And that the reason why I say him and not Canely, because I mean, Canely could be too, but, and I'm talking about before, you know, King had his inning stretch and everything. Cousins has multiple pitches he can go to, whereas Canely is really just a one pitch merchant, like everyone wants to say. No, I disagree with that, but he's got velocity, which is a fastball that runs a little bit. And then he's got his changeup, which is absolutely filthy. But Cousins has multiple pitches. He's got a curve. He located that curve very well and got screwed on a call. Should have had 3 strikeouts. But, and Hunter Wendelstedt was behind the plate. The the guy that threw out Boone because the guy in the stands yelled earlier in the year.
Yeah, so. His zone was interesting today. His strike zone, I'll say this. He was consistent. He was not calling anything down and away all day today. And I'll be honest with you, that works in the Yankees' advantage. When you're talking about
Aaron Judge,
that's all they throw. Pitches down and away. And when that pitch is a ball, well, you're in trouble. It's a problem, right? So you might as well put four fingers up. And I did mention to you, Jake, I brought this up last show. Some of these teams, like the Colorado Rockies, you mean to tell me that someone paid millions of dollars, made the decision. The best thing for the Rockies today was to pitch to Aaron Judge. How can you possibly make the argument that pitching to Aaron Judge is a better decision than just putting Aaron Judge on first base every single time he goes up to the plate and facing Giancarlo Stanton? I get it. Giancarlo hit a home run today. Super impressive. But you mean to tell me that those odds aren't better to win?
Oh,
that's insane to me. Aaron Judge should never swing the bat the rest of the season. I would walk Aaron Judge every single time he hit. I don't care what Wells did, Stanton, Chisholm behind him. I don't care. There's no reason for anyone to pitch to this guy, and they do for our entertainment, and we're thankful for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Like, people look at it as Bush League, right? If you just walk a guy constantly. People also look at it as Bush League in the NBA and college basketball when you foul, when you're up two, and you foul because you don't want them to hit the three and beat you.
Oh, this is the hack-a-shack. Walking Aaron Judge the rest of the season would be the hack-a-shack.
But, like, not every team wants to do it. When you're up three, they don't want to give up a potential game-tying three-pointer. So you foul, and then at the end of the game, when there's no time left, they're basically like, people call it Bush League, but I call it, hey, I'm trying to win a game. The goal
is to win.
Yeah,
so the goal is to beat the Yankees. I mean, I'll tell you right here, right now, I don't want people to get this scouting report. And do you really need me at Yankees Unloaded to tell you this? The best way to beat the Yankees is to probably do your best. Juan Soto is a great player in this league. He's a future Hall of Famer, excellent player. He's hitting 297. His OPS is over 1,000. You give your best attempt. I probably throw him away and make him just get a hit. Okay. You don't throw anything on the inner part of the plate. If you do, he's going to go upper deck. So pitch away. He obviously has power the other way, but you need to keep the ball on the ground or on a line. And then when Aaron Judge comes up, you just don't even let him play baseball. That's what I would do. Yeah. And so did they really need me to tell them that? You have a better opportunity to get Giancarlo Stanton and Jazz Chisholm, who went 1-for-7 today. So why would you not give that a go? Obviously, they have an opportunity now to hit a 2 or a 3-run home run. Totally understandable. But couldn't you accept Giancarlo beat you today and not Aaron Judge, who has 49 home runs on August 23rd?
It's the competitor in these teams. That's really what it comes down to. I think a lot of these teams really, especially players on the mound, it's almost like our season sucks. I mean, we have 47 wins. I'm Kyle Freeland. I'm not Garrett Cole. I want to go up there and I want to be able to, you know, tell my kids, my grandchildren, I struck out Aaron Judge. I feel like, honestly, it's the competitor in these guys. And I do think managers, too, are like, I'm not walking Aaron Judge. You kidding me? I'm not laying down. So I think it is that mentality. But sometimes you just got to do what obviously gets you the win. Then again, like you mentioned last episode, I don't know if it's in the best interest for the Rockies to win games. It probably would be best to get that number one overall pick and start tanking the way the Orioles did, because now the Orioles, I mean, they saved themselves a lot of time with all the compensatory picks they got and everything. I mean, and now they're set up with Couser to potentially get another compensatory pick next year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of how I look at it. But Clark Schmidt, rehab assignment, three and two-thirds innings pitched, one hit, one run, one walk, six strikeouts. People that were at the game and, you know, just the people that were covering it and everything said he looked really good. I don't care they gave up a run. I know people go way over the top about that. The whole point of a rehab assignment, especially your first rehab assignment when you haven't pitched in months, is just to see, hey, can he go three innings and not get eviscerated? Can he locate his pitches? Does he still have velocity? Can he still miss bats? And Clark Schmidt, he can still miss bats. He had six strikeouts. And I also want to talk about something I said maybe two episodes ago. It's, you know, it was pointed out, like, do you really think this, you know, AAA is the same as the MLB? Because I had that comment where I thought a lot of guys, no, I don't. I'm saying, when I said that, I was saying there's a lot of guys in AAA that are in AAA because the management of the organization sucks and they're making bad decisions. And I know that's not really shocking if you've been following the Jason Dominguez saga. There are guys in AAA that are not only big league level hitters, but could be some of the best hitters in baseball.
Great point.
And they are littered throughout the AAA. So that's my thing, is that, and I think Schmidt was in AA, I think. So, but the point still stands. You know, he's still going up against guys that will be in the majors. These aren't jobbers. You know, they still get paid to play. And it's like, all we're trying to see is, hey, can you get to that point where you're comfortable locating your pitches, you know, working on different pitches, not just throwing fastballs. I mean, you want to work on your breaking pitches and things like that. And Clark Schmidt passed today. And as far as Anthony Rizzo, also in that rehab assignment, two walks today. He had a flyout. I don't give a rip. That was fine. He's walking. He's generating, you know, he was, you know, pushing the count, and he made contact on the ball and he didn't get hurt. And really, that's it. I don't care how long they take Anthony Rizzo's rehab assignment. To me, I want to see him ready to go for October, but I don't need him back right this instant. And I also want to talk about, you know, obviously we should make mention DJ LeMahieu left the game before it even started. Hope he's okay. Let's make this very clear on this show. And we have before. We don't root for injuries. We don't root for injuries on anybody, regardless if they're on the Yankees or not on the Yankees, regardless if they're a player that we're constantly criticizing or not. DJ LeMahieu has done a lot for this team. Okay, this year he's not DJ LeMahieu, and he probably won't be for the rest of his career, but that doesn't mean we want to see him get mashed in the face by, you know, an errant throw.
So we wanted him off the field the right way, which meant Aaron Boone making the decision, hey, this guy is not our best opportunity at first base, which today he was starting at first base. Ben Rice wasn't going to play at all, obviously lefty on the mound. And I shouldn't say obviously, because we don't really care about the whole lefty righty thing, but that was their thought process. Ben Rice doesn't play against lefties. And so DJ LeMahieu, unfortunately, is off the field for a reason that we're not happy about. So, you know, but Jake, I guess as far as what's happening with rehab assignments, yeah, guys aren't going to go eight innings of shutout ball. Like, that's not how rehab assignments go. It's all about feel. And Clark Schmidt will tell you, yeah, feel-wise, I feel good. I'm built up to 50 pitches, 65 pitches, and now that's an asset, right? Clark Schmidt's somebody that we're going to put back into the fold in our rotation, and maybe you can make the argument. I know your dad was making the argument that Clark Schmidt maybe can go as into our closer role, right? Because some people have mentioned Luis Gil is someone that could go. His innings have been an issue. He obviously just dealt with the lower back injury. So I guess my thing is that Luis Gil is a great enough player, and there's a high enough ceiling with him in the rotation. I want to leave him. I just want to, if he's healthy, I want him starting postseason games. I just think it's that simple. I'm not overthinking it. But Clark Schmidt, on the other hand, I think he misses bats enough and he's around the strike zone enough to make that make sense. Now, the inverse of that is, if you thought Luis Gil is a better option at closer, right? That's a fine opinion. Anybody can have, is entitled to that opinion. Yeah. He obviously throws 100 miles an hour when he's max effort. That's a good thing to have as a closer. I mean, people would pay a lot of money for him. But Luis Gil's not around the strike zone very often, right? He's someone who has control issues. He's had fastball command problems. Like, this is something that we've talked about with Weaver as well. So when it comes to who's closing for the Yankees, yes, I don't necessarily want a closer who's pitching to contact the way Holmes is. That's a problem, right? But you also need to be a guy who's around the strike zone. Is there anything worse than being the closer for the Yankees in October and you can't find the strike zone in a 3-2 game? In my opinion, I couldn't watch that. So no. I would trust Clark Schmidt in that role. I'm not saying the Yankees should do it or deploy it, but if I saw it, I wouldn't lose sleep.
I want either Kainley, or I think I actually lean towards Jake Cousins right now.
That is fair. But I would say the Yankees, based on what Jake Cousins is doing, he's kind of proven he can go multiple innings. The Yankees might use Jake Cousins, like
a two-inning closer,
Michael King. He could be a two-inning closer, or the Yankees might look at him based on the way his slider looks right now. If that continues, Jake Cousins, you can use him as your, was it Miller, right, from in Cleveland?
Yeah, Andrew Miller.
Andrew Miller. You can use him in the Andrew Miller role. Bring him out if you're facing the heart of the lineup, right? 2, 3, 4. If that's happening in the eighth inning, bring out Cousins. If that's happening in the ninth, let Cousins go in the ninth, right? Or whoever it is that you're choosing to go with as your number one option. That's part of the reason when Aaron Boone told us, yeah, we're going to go with the hot hand or we're going to play matchups. Well, whoever your best pitchers are going into the postseason, that final week, whoever those guys are in your circle of trust, you should be looking at the lineup and saying, where's the heart of the order? And you should be circling, okay, Conley, right? Cousins. And if Clay Holmes is still crapping down his leg, you think I want to see him face the three hitter for, you think I want to see him face Santander from Baltimore? I don't.
No.
Right? So that's kind of my whole thing.
God,
use matchups to your advantage. If you see and you know something that's not opportunistic for the Yankees, do not call Clay Holmes' name just because he was called closer all year. Go to your hottest hands. I think if the Yankees do that, I don't know if I trust Boone to do it at all, but if he did, I think it would be a huge shot in the arm for this Yankees team to give him a chance.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, I do want to make mention Santander hit a grand slam, in case you guys didn't know, watching this. The Orioles ended up coming back after being down 5-2. Brian Abreu blew the entire game sky high, gave up three hits, loaded the bases, and then a grand slam. My question is, why was he still in there? I don't know. No world may never know. Santander also has... Santander, I'm convinced, has over 100 home runs at this point. He hits a home run every day. It's a running joke. He's gonna get paid,
man.
I kind of wish the Yankees got him.
Well, where does he play? Is he a left fielder or right fielder?
Yeah, I think he's just an outfielder. Can play. I think he's a right fielder, actually.
Yeah, we don't have any room.
No. I mean, there are people already talking about the potential of not even switching Aaron Judge to first base, because it sounds to me like we're never going to win on that. Aaron Judge isn't going to switch. He doesn't want to.
Okay.
He'll probably just move to DH and replace Stanton when he retires.
Okay.
But I was actually seeing a lot of people on social media have been pushing for Spencer Jones to switch to first base.
Well, he's got to hit more than 240 before we start talking about that.
Of course. Absolutely.
You got to start raking before we do that
thing. I don't think we see him next year, if I'm being honest. I think he needs some time.
No, and he's also like... he's older. Spencer Jones is like 23 right now, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. By the way,
I mean, come on. That's just...
I want to throw this out here because this is going to drive home a point. And Baseball Savant is our friend, okay? Let me just make that very clear, okay? Love Baseball Savant. By the way, if you look at Jake Cousins' Baseball Savant page and Kainley's, it's gross. Mm-hmm. It's just red everywhere. It's a horror movie. It's just blood all over the place, which is a good thing to have. So run value, they grade based on a pitch type, which I don't know if you knew this. You probably did.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
No, I won't lie to you. I did not know.
So prepare to be amazed. Okay. Jake Cousins, we'll start with him, has an 8 run value on his slider. 8 is very good. It's in the red. It's good, right? -3 on the fastball. He's basically stopped throwing the fastball. He's only thrown it 5 times. He has a 1 on the sinker. So I'd like the run value to be a little bit better on the sinker.
Yeah.
But that's really good. Clay Holmes has a -8 on his sinker.
That's the best pitch.
No, it's not. His slider has a 9.
No, I'm not saying that it's his best, like most executed pitch, but it's supposed to be his bread and butter.
It's supposed to be, but what if I told you that the sinker that he, you know, supposed to be his bread and butter hasn't been good since 2022? Had a 9 in 2022? And in 2023, it had a zero. And this year, it has a negative eight. He's regressing as a sinker ball pitcher. And his slider has gone from what was zero in 2022 up to seven last year to nine this year.
So would you say, has Clay Holmes ever introduced a four-seam fastball?
No. Oh, yes, he got rid of it. He threw it once in 2022.
Okay, because, I mean, I would argue that Clay Holmes as a four-seam guy, it's harder to throw 100 with a sinker. I mean, this is obvious, right? Than as opposed to throwing a four-seam.
Absolutely.
My argument, this kind of reminds me of the conversation. Remember Sonny Gray's tenure with the Yankees with Larry Rothschild as our pitching coach?
Yes.
Larry refused to let Sonny Gray throw a four-seam fastball. He just wouldn't let it happen. And Sonny Gray was not very happy about this. He was pissed. And rightfully so. If you're a pitcher and you're supposed to be a professional, well, it should be up to you how you want to be utilized, right? Maybe your pitching coach can give you a recommendation.
Yeah.
But
well, they did this with Java,
at the end of the day.
And they killed Java.
So this is stupid. So my whole point here is if you have the worst sinker and like arguably in Major League Baseball, you throw 98 and it looks really good on the screen when it's good. But if the numbers overall in the season tell you your sinker hasn't been serviceable in 2 years, well, then why would you walk into the postseason in October featuring a sinker? That does not make sense. Now, I understand like baseball's played in real life and not on these like on graphs and all these stat sheets. We understand. But guess what? On the field where the game is played, this whole conversation we're having, he's not getting it done. So if Clay Holmes was like getting saves, but these numbers said that, hey, his sinker's not as good as we think it is, then maybe we'd let it go. But Clay Holmes isn't like he's not dominating games. So, I think it's a conversation maybe they can have. I hope they bring it up on Yes, actually, and talk about the state of the sinker because it's interesting. If his slider's that good, if he even had a league average four-seam fastball, well, I mean, we're talking about that's a huge difference.
Yeah. And furthermore, I want to make this clear. This is his worst run value for a pitch in his entire career this year.
Yeah, that can't be good. Because obviously he was seen as a pitcher who wasn't great in Pittsburgh. So
yeah, he's thrown 481 times this year. 54.8% of the time he throws his sinker, but the slider has a 9 run value. All right.
So mainly he should be Sergio Romo at this point. It should be 65% slider.
So get this, because this is where our show, no one's talking about this. This is why you guys are loyal listeners on Yankees Unloaded. We're going above and beyond because we actually don't want to just throw out a narrative. We want to really drive this point home. And Gary didn't know I was going this route. I didn't even know I was going this route. This is Yankees Unloaded. Like, we'll just think of like, you know, while we're, you know, things just reel in. Well, wouldn't you believe his batting average, opponent's batting average against Clay Holmes' sinker is 348.
That's Tony Gwynn.
It's 105 against his slider, and it's 152 against his sweeper. Why is he ever throwing his sinker?
Think about that, our listeners. Just listen to that number alone. If you heard anything we said, Clay Holmes' sinker, hitters are hitting 348. On the pitch.
That's Bobby Witt.
That is Bobby Witt Jr. That's Tony Gwynn. What are we saying here? And then his slider, people are hitting 105 against that pitch. So what would that tell you?
His sweeper is Joey Gallo. Numbers.
Michael Kay has told us, yes, Aaron Boone has statistics that we haven't seen. That is objectively true. And I've agreed to this. How is it that they know this stat? Oh, he's hitting 105 against the slider. They're hitting 350 against the sinker. Wouldn't you think you would be throwing more of the pitch that guys are throwing, hitting 105 against, as opposed to the 350? That's just common knowledge and utilization. I mean, how can you possibly call yourself a staff when you don't tell your players this information? And if Clay Holmes knows this information, you have to assume he does. This is just blasphemous at that point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe Clay Holmes, hear me out. Maybe Clay Holmes actually isn't that bad. And like his sinker, which used to be dominant, remember they called it the demon sinker?
Yes.
In 2022, when it had a 199 batting average. Still not as good as the other two pitches he's thrown this year.
But very good.
But very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's getting whiffs and whatnot. This year, his whiff percentage on the sinker is 19.6. It was 17.4 last year. And the year before that was 26.2. So his sinker's gone. It's gone. I don't know what happened to it. It ran away. But the good news is your slider is kicking ass. It's got a 44.6 whiff percentage. Like, it's actually
what do you take away from this? I don't mean to cut you off. I want to tee you up for a question.
Yeah.
I need to know if, considering these numbers, okay, the listener, you're hearing these numbers and you're saying, okay, Clay Holmes, as bad as he's been this year, right? He's been awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give him, obviously, he did the job today. It wasn't excellent, but he got it done. So we want to give him that credit. But if a player's slider, the numbers suggest his slider is still dynamic, right? One of the best in Major League Baseball, if not the best breaking ball.
Yeah.
Does this suggest that maybe Clay Holmes needs to retool what he's throwing? And maybe
absolutely
we shouldn't not give up on him, because I'm not saying giving up on him, in my opinion, is just taking, like, that's just like taking him off the roster, DFAing him. That's giving up. Okay. Verdugo. We agree. Give up.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you're talking about a player like Clay Holmes, these numbers suggest you can throw that slider. You need to find another fastball that works for you. And this one's not it. So having said that, maybe Clay Holmes is a player that we need to just take a step back, put him on the mound with a different game plan, throw a different pitch. Because I promise you this, if Clay Holmes starts throwing a four-seam fastball, I know for a fact guys aren't going to hit more than 348 against it.
No. So, and we know Matt Blake obsesses over sinkers. So I almost wonder if Matt Blake has something to do with this.
Yeah, like, if this is counterintuitive.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like John Boy mentioned in that interview,
mm-hmm.
I mean, why, when the majority of the infield it grades out as, you know, bottom of the league or, you know, yes, bottom half, why are you making it so your game plan is to generate ground balls where the bottom half of the league infield has to make plays to win games? And I think it's like very
Shaquille O'Neal trying to play like James Harden. Shaquille O'Neal wouldn't try and deliberately get to the free throw line knowing how bad he is at shooting free throws. That is exactly what Clay Holmes attempting, like deliberately trying to get ground balls with an infield that's not a great fielding team. So if that's the case, you're just setting yourself up for failure. It almost seems like you're cool giving up a ground ball and executing a pitch and then losing and then saying, well, I made my pitch. That's not the job. The job is to win. And I talked about this before. He actually has mentioned before, I executed my pitches. We got soft contact and it didn't bounce our way. So I did what I was supposed to do. No, you didn't. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. The job is to win. Mariano Rivera in 2001 wasn't thinking, man, I really made a good pitch there to Luis Gonzalez and I did what I was supposed to do. I sawed him off. No, he'll tell you I blew the game.
Yeah.
Obviously it was a really bad luck, but if you ask him, he's accountable about what happened. We watched the game. We know what happened. So this is why, especially when you're the closer of the Yankees, you need to be accountable results on results, not location, not velocity, nothing else, not talking pitch coach, nothing. It needs to be, when I put you on the mound, did we walk away with a win and Frank Sinatra's playing for a good reason? Or is Frank Sinatra playing because that's what they do no matter what happens?
Which is dumb. They should
only
play.
Which is so dumb. Side note, that is the dumbest thing the Yankees have done in the last 20 years is play Frank Sinatra in a loss. But of course, the reason they do it, for tourists. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
That is true. Well, I wanted to bring it up because, yeah, Clay Holmes, -8 run value, in case those of you need a refresher, on the sinker. That sinker, everyone knows him as a sinker ball pitcher. His slider is actually really good at a 9-run value. Jake Cousins has an 8-run value on his slider. He has a 1-run value on his sinker. He should probably use that more as his second and get rid of the 4-seam fastball. -3 run value. Okay. He's 1,000 batting average. Don't throw the fastball.
So every time he throws it, it exits the same speed it came in.
Yeah. It's just it's a rocket ship. Tommy Kahnle, a 10 for changeup. Hitters are 146 batting average against that.
Ridiculous.
His fastball, which used to be his number one pitch,
Okay.
Okay, back in 2017, he had a 10 run value. And then he had a negative 10 in 2018, kind of took a nosedive.
Good Lord.
So then 2019, that's when his changeup just started getting crazy. And he had a 10 run value on his changeup, a 6, and I think he missed all of 2021. Point I'm making here is he's become a changeup focused pitcher. I think he does need another pitch. I think the slider, which he's only thrown 38 times, he has a 1 run value.
Okay.
He needs to have another pitch. That fastball right now, he's given up 263 batting average, 143 on sliders. And yeah, they tried the sinker, and I don't think that's going to work. But to wrap it up, and by the way, we didn't complain about Trevino over Wells. That, you know, we can do that. We've done that plenty of podcasts. You guys already know how we feel about Wells not being in the lineup. But to wrap this up, I figured we'd have a little fun as baseball fans. And as Class A enthusiasts, can you guess Emmanuel Class A's run value on his cutter?
Does it go higher than 10?
Yes.
His run value, I'm going to say it's 16.
It's 20. Oh my God. And this
actually think this is malpractice that he's even in the bullpen. Has anyone considered this, that Emmanuel Clase, he's going on his third year in a row where he works big innings, and he's proven it's no match for him. Emmanuel Clase should be a starter in this league. That's my take. He should be an ace. He's unhittable. And I get it. You throw one inning, maybe you throw 1 2/3, and that doesn't necessarily easily project as a starter. I totally understand, right?
Yeah.
But man, you can't watch Emmanuel Clase and think that this isn't even right, that he has to wait till the end of the game to make an impact. I put him on the mound in a game one. I'm not trying to help Cleveland win, but could you imagine if we had to go play game one and Clase is on the mound in the first inning?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would just suck. It would be horrible for us.
Yeah, and by the way, in case anyone's wondering, Luke Weaver has the highest as a 4 for him in 2024. It's his cutter, which he throws the third most of all his pitches. Luke Weaver isn't a guy that has amazing stuff. He's just consistent with his... You've mentioned it. I mean, yeah, lately it seems like his location's been kind of wonky, but 198 batting average against the four-seamer, 165 against the changeup, 182 against the cutter. I mean, he's been consistent. And is that the guy that you want closing? Like, is he intimidating to the point where you can't hit off him? No, he's not Clase. I think that intimidating guy is Clay Holmes if he starts using the slider, like, as his number one pitch. And I think it could be Jake Cousins, who has actually turned into that. And just for shits and gigs, I got to throw one more before you get to the movie.
The movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that one more guy has got to be the kid on the A's.
Oh, Miller?
Come on. We gotta see Mason Miller.
Miller's four-seam fastball. Just stop you right there. His four-seam fastball.
Oh, my God. It has to be.
I'm going to go 18.
Oh, wow. It's lower than I thought. Is it 11?
Oh, wow. Okay. There you go.
It's 11 at four seam, but then he has a 7 as a slider. So to me, like, that's insane.
Oh, my God.
Everyone we just listed, they were lower. Like, Clase, his next best pitch was a 4 run value.
Yeah. So essentially, Mason Miller has 2 plus pitches. Like, it's not just.
Well, he's only got 2 pitches, really.
He throws the 2 pitches. He's Mariano, essentially.
They actually got rid of his cutter. He had 96 cutter pitches in 2023. Totally got rid of that. And he had a split fingered, which he barely used this year. Same with the changeup. So, yeah, he's pretty much become a 4-seam slider guy. Okay. And I like what you said about Clay Holmes. Maybe this offseason, if they bring him back, because he is a free agent. I want to make that clear, guys. But if they bring him back, which I wouldn't be against for the right price, I'd like to see him trying, like, you know, incorporate a fastball. Because you can act like, oh, that's a lot of work. These guys are in the mid. No, didn't Garrett Cole, like, with the knuckle curve? He didn't have the knuckle curve forever.
Garrett Cole didn't have the cutter. Here's another thing. Garrett Cole, when he's pitching for Pittsburgh. But how about Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Garrett Cole in Pittsburgh, here's the major adjustment. When he was pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Garrett Cole was seen as this project who had ridiculous stuff. Everyone saw it. It jumped off the page. But he never really put it together. He would give up a lot of home runs, which he still gives up home runs. But he never really got that ERA and didn't become that polished pitcher. But then he went to Houston, and what happened? Obviously, some people will say, oh, it was spider tack. But here's what really happened. He went away from that loopy slider, and he went towards a hard slider. That was the adjustment, right? And it brought him from a guy who would really sit with an ERA in the low fours, which is not that great, if we're being honest. It's really not.
Yeah.
And he turned into arguably the best pitcher post 2014, 2015. That's who he became. So things can change very quickly just by changing which type of pitches you're attempting to throw. Now, when we say maybe you can look at these numbers and bring back Clay Holmes another year with the Yankees, we're not saying another year as closer and just pencil him in next year. Not at all. We're talking about bringing Clay Holmes back on a significant discount, given how he's played. And you say, hey, Clay, we can reset your market on the free agency market. You can go get your big $100 million deal later, but you can show back up as a Yankee. We'll retool your fastball. We'll probably put you in middle relief. And you know what? If that fastball is retooled successfully, we'll open up the door later on, potentially, that you can be closer again. And that maybe is something that would interest Clay Holmes. Maybe it helps the Yankees. It's a cheap option, gives us another arm, and not at a big price that we were expecting Clay Holmes to be at. So I don't know. It's interesting. Obviously, I'm totally fine if someone says no, no can do. Get Clay Holmes out of here. Totally fine with it. It's not a big deal. We're talking about a dude who I think should be pitching the sixth inning next year, you know, at best. So is what it is.
It is what it is.
Movie. Okay, here's the movie. So since our starting rotation, when Luis Gil went down, everyone panicked, and rightfully so, one of our better pitchers, people said that the Yankees' rotation is going to have to really take a look in the mirror and rebound. Get up off the mat. They haven't been very good, but since then, they've been excellent. They've answered the bell. Let's be clear. Shawshank Redemption. The Yankees got their redemption from their rotation. It needs to continue. And yeah, we're going Shawshank Redemption, a movie that Jake and I, neither of us have seen. So kind of blasphemous that I'm even giving you guys this, but it's a movie that both of us will watch in the near future. So drop that in the comments.
I wonder if Morgan Freeman is in that. I think he is.
I thought he was.
Yeah. I think he is.
I don't know.
He's one of the goats, so.
It wasn't clickable when I was just looking at it, but.
All right, I'll look it up real quick. Because you type with two fingers, so we'll be here all day. Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins, Clancy Brown. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Morgan Freeman. Well, you have me at Morgan Freeman. It's really
bad. And people. I know this is a great movie, so I'm not naive to that fact. It's just I haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have plenty of movies I got to see. I still got to watch Interstellar, like you mentioned, The Godfather, Scarface.
Yeah, you should be tarred and feathered for not seeing Interstellar. That's just blasphemous.
But not The Godfather. People actually...
No, because The Godfather is...
People actually want to whack me when I tell them that I haven't seen The Godfather.
No, you're going to be... The Godfather is a good movie. It's just... It's interesting because they just don't condense it the way movies are condensed now. Like, if there's a movie... If there's a wedding scene in The Godfather, you're at the whole wedding. You're there for the whole time. So, an interesting way to film.
Thrones in a way.
But it's historic. Yes, exactly. So, highly recommend The Godfather.
Want to give a quick shout out to Killian Carter. Finally found it. Killian Carter dropped a super thanks in the last video. So a donation in the comments section. Really appreciate that, guys. If you ever want to drop, you ever want to give us a cup of coffee or whatever, you can drop that in the comments section. It's called a super thanks. If you want to be a member, like we mentioned earlier, you know, we're going to start rolling out the red carpet for you guys to, you know, give us some, you know, mailbag questions. If you are part of that, the field level membership. And, you know, once again, we just really appreciate you guys. We see all your comments. We're trying to be a little bit better and more diligent in answering them. But of course, you know, if we miss yours, priority comments, answering the second deck, we're never going to miss a priority comment.
We had 500 comments a couple of videos ago.
I know.
I mean, I was like,
I try.
We need a full publicist to take care of it at this point. It's crazy.
We need to use AI. No, we're not using AI.
I like how you said a cup of coffee now, like implying a few dollars to help. And now a cup of coffee is like $8 at Starbucks. Pretty incredible.
Also, I don't even drink coffee. I only drink mushroom coffee. So I make my coffee. Like, you know what
That's
I mean?
Fair.
Like,
coffee just ends up in the toilet anyways. It's not really worth the buy.
No, it's more so I get nauseous having regular coffee. I can only have mushroom coffee. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
So yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a saying, oh, you would give us a cup of coffee or whatever. Like, whatever.
You could really use it too, the way you sleep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you guys are watching this at 4 a.m., just know I'm probably up.
He's watching Shawshank Redemption.
That's how it starts, man. You get me on these movies. I watch The Judge at 5 a.m. So yeah,
good movie.
That's the way it is. It's the way it'll be. But also the way it is the Yankees won. The Orioles unfortunately also won. So only 1.5 games. Should have been 2.5. The Astros, well, they helped us out in the first game. Second game, not so much. I'm blaming the entire game on Brian Abreu, honestly.
But, let's go sweep Colorado. Take care of our own business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think the Astros win another game in that series. It's a 4-game set. If the Yankees sweep Colorado, they'll be up 2.5 at the very least. So, you know, that's going to do it. We appreciate you guys. Oh, looks like Ohtani just walked off. Fastest player in MLB history, 40-40 season.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, the video games, man, they're just alive and well. So anyway, we appreciate you guys. Be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. You can follow us on all social media below. And if you want to become a member, link is in the comment section and the description. And we'll see you guys in next episode.
And like this video.